Welcome to the Story Mine. My name is Kathy Barker, and I'm here with my delightful co-host,
David Bullock.
About a year ago, Kathy and I were introduced to an Appalachian mountain native of Melungeon descent, which means she's from one of numerous triracial isolate groups of the Cumberland Gap.
Linda Goodman has been featured on the Story Mine before. Rave reviews were sent in from many of our listeners when we presented her story, The Mustard Seed. Today we are presenting her award-winning story, Jessie, which she first recorded in 1992. This is a poignant tale about getting what you wish for, but not necessarily getting what you wanted. Here's Linda Goodman.
When I was just a young girl, my grandmama used to set me on a stool in front of her vanity and brush my long dark hair until it shone like polished onyx. And sometimes when she's doing that, why I'd start telling her about all the things I wanted to do when I grew up, what I wanted to be, what kind of man I wanted to marry. And I remember one time she said to me, "Be careful what you wish, child. Wishes have a way of coming true sometimes." And I just laughed and said, "Now, Grandmama, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. Why, I wouldn't wish for something if I didn't want it now, would I?" And she turned me around on that stool so I was facing her. And she looked me right in the eye real serious-like, and she said, "When you're older, you'll understand what I mean, child. When you're older, then you'll understand." Then she went to her treasure box, and she took out her combs, the gold ones that my granddaddy gave her on their wedding day. And she put my hair back with them. And I looked in the mirror and declared as to how I looked just like a princess with them combs in my hair. My grandmama died that year, and her land and her house and everything in it was left to my mama. But them combs was left to me. I was only 8 years old when I first met Bobby Jake Rittenberry. I was skipping rocks across Lotus Creek, and he come by and remarked as to how good I was at it. We became playmates after that, running through the meadow with the wind blowing through our hair, swimming in the lake, playing hide-and-seek twixt the trees and the forest. I reckon I was about 13 when I noticed I was feeling different about Bobby Jake. I suppose it was his brooding good looks, the way his dark curly hair would get all wild in the afternoon when the sweat beat it up on his forehead, the way the sun would tan his skin all even and brown. And when he looked at me with them ice blue eyes of his, why my heart would go to fluttering like a caged butterfly. I reckon it was about that same time that he first took note of Maybelle Wilson, her with the golden hair and wide-set aquamarine eyes. Her daddy owned the Wilson Coal Company, where my daddy worked, barely making enough money to feed his family. Well, he slowly developed the black lung that killed him in the spring of last year. I was determined that she wasn't going to have him. I did everything in my power to keep him away from her. Why, I dressed up in my prettiest blue dress and went to stand at the picket fence in front of my house, waiting for him to come by on his way home from work. Long he come in the late afternoon, all covered with coal dust. And I said, "Hey, Bobby Jake, how about a nice cool glass of lemonade? I made it fresh just for you." He just kept walking. "I can't, Jessie. Gotta go home and get washed up. I got a date with Maybelle tonight." That year, at the Wilson Coal Company picnic, I made some of my mama's prize-winning molasses cookies from the secret recipe that she shared only with me. And as I was about to set them on the picnic table, I noticed Bobby Jake and Maybelle holding hands under a tree. So I walked up to them and I said, "Hey, Bobby Jake, how about a molasses cookie? I made them myself." But he wasn't interested in food. He had eyes only for Maybelle in a new pink and white gingham dress. But that afternoon, while Maybelle and her daddy was greeting all the other miners and their families, I saw Bobby Jake standing by himself over to the lake. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, Bobby Jake, how about you and me taking a walk in the woods? It'll be like when we was kids." He said, "All right." And I took his hand, and we walked. And when we was deep enough into them woods that I was sure couldn't nobody see nor hear us, I turned myself to face him, and I pressed my lips against his hard. But he pushed me away. And he said, "I done promised myself to Maybelle, Jesse. I ain't for you." And then he walked away and left me there in my shame. I didn't go back to the picnic after that. I went home and cried myself to sleep. I was awakened deep in the night by the moonlight shining silver across my bed. It seemed to be beckoning me to come to the window. I went and looked out over the holler. It was pitch black that night. I couldn't see nothing but the moon. The moon was a big yellow ball, and across its face was a shadow in the shape of an eagle. And as the church bell struck midnight in the distance, I knew that I was being given a sign. So I got back into bed, and I had me a dream, and in that dream I saw an eagle circling a mountain. And when I woke up, the first thought come to my head was of that conjure man up on Wilkins Mountain. Now, there's some folks say that there ain't no conjure man, that he's just one of them tales that the hillbillies likes to spread to scare folks around these parts. But there's others say that the conjure man is real, that they've seen his eagle taking messages to his witch friends, and they've heard the demons howling at the parties he gives on All Saints' Eve. So the next morning, while my mama was making breakfast, I asked her, "Mama, do you think there really is a conjure man up on Wilkins Mountain?" "I know there is," she said. "Ain't never seen him, mind you, but your grandmama did. She run him off her property once. Never did find out what he was doing there, but you can be sure that he was up to no good." "Well, that mountain's awful big, Mama. Now, whereabouts up there does he live?"
"Don't know. Don't care to know."
"Well, don't he ever come down out of that mountain?"
"Like I say, never seen him. But there is folks say that he comes down out of that mountain once a month on the day after the first full moon to buy food at the marketplace. See, won't nothing grow up on that mountain except in his roots and herbs. He done cursed the soil with his evil magic.
You stay away from that conjure man, Jesse. His magic is evil." "I got no truck with the conjure man, Mama. I just want to know what he looks like is all." That morning, I finished my chores real early and I went out to the marketplace. I waited for hours, but he never showed, and I was beginning to think that they really won't no conjure man, that he really was just one of them tales that the hillbillies likes to spread. But long about noon, I felt something at my back. I turned, and there he was. I never seen him before, mind you, but I knew it was him. He had long, stringy white hair, and his skin was so old it just hung from his bones. His fingers was all twisted and gnarled, and the nails was long and dirty from digging in the ground for them roots and herbs. And he looked at me with black, beady eyes like he could see straight through to my heart and the evil that lay there. He turned and started walking towards Wilkins Mountain. I followed at a distance, careful not to get too close. He never looked back. It's like he didn't even know I was there. We walked up a steep path that wound through woods so thick you couldn't even tell it was daylight. And I had nothing to guide me but the glow from his robe. Finally, he stopped at the entrance to a cave and turned to face me.
"What you want, girl?"
I want you to work me a spell. A love spell.
Man, you won't want somebody else, girl.
Why you want a man don't want you?
Well, he was mine before he was hern. I just want back what's rightfully mine is all.
It'll cost you, girl.
It'll cost you, dear.
Well, I can pay. I got my egg money right here.
Don't want money, girl. What good money gonna do me up here?
You got to pay me with something, dear. Something you hold close to your heart.
I'll be back tomorrow then with your payment. I came back the next day and put what I brought into his open hands. He grinned as he watched the gold glint in the sunlight.
Your grandmama run me off her property once, girl.
Now I got what was in her treasure box.
My grandmama meant more to me than anything in the world, and them combs are all I have left of her. But that's how bad I want Bobby Jake. He walked into his cave, and he came out with a small bottle of clear liquid, and before handing it to me, he said,
Now I be a-warning you, girl.
My magic don't work but two ways, all or nothing. You use this potion, Bobby Jake's gonna be yours forever and for all time.
He gonna think about you all day. He gonna dream about you all night.
You sure that what you want, girl?
Well, it's what I've been dreaming of, but how do I get him to drink it?
He don't drink it, girl.
You just put a little dab of it behind your ears, the base of your neck, crooks of your elbow. You walk past Baba Jake on a warm summer night when the breeze is with you. The potion do the rest.
I took the bottle from him, and as I was leaving, I looked back and saw him holding my grandmama's combs over his head so that the eagle above him could see his prize. And as I descended that mountain, it seemed like I could hear my grandmama crying in the trees. The next Saturday night was the big barn dance. I put on the dress my mama made me special for the occasion. Then I applied that potion like the conjure man done told me. When I walked through the front door of that barn, every eye turned to look at me. I caught the fiddler's eye, and he winked and started playing the devil's waltz. The music was so loud I could feel the floor vibrating beneath my feet. Then I saw Bobby Jake and Maybelle dancing slow, holding each other near the back door of that barn. I walked past without even looking at him, but I could feel him watching me. And as I walked out the back door of that barn, he followed me. And I turned to face him, and he put his arms around me, and he kissed me long and hard. And as we walked away together in each other's arms, I could hear Maybelle crying in the background. We was married 2 weeks after that. Bobby Jake's mama and daddy had a cabin and some land on the other side of the holler, and they let us live there rent-free. We was real happy at first. Bobby Jake quit his job at the mines 'cause he couldn't bear to be away from me for all them hours every day. We decided to make our living off farming. Every morning we get up, have a big breakfast, go out, work the fields. Then Bobby Jake helped me get supper ready, and we talk a while, and then we go to bed, and that was fine. But one day my mama come over, and she said, Now, Jessie, you're a married woman now, and could be you might be wanting to join the ladies' sewing circle at church. Now, we meet on the first Thursday of every month, and I'd be right happy to come by and pick you up. Well, I said that'd be fine, but Bobby Jake said no. Couldn't bear to be away from me, even for just a few hours a month. And then 2 weeks after that, there was another big barn dance at Miller Station, and I said, Hey, Bobby Jake, let's go to the dance. We ain't danced since before we got married. But he said no. Didn't want to share me with nobody else, and besides, hadn't I turned his head so fast and so hard, if he hadn't knowed better, he'd thought I'd done spelled him? How did he know I wouldn't have that same effect on some other man. So that was our life together, just me and him, never going anywhere, never having anybody over. And my mama said, "It ain't natural, Jesse. I don't care if you are married, it ain't natural for two people to shut themselves off from the rest of the world the way you two have." And she was right. I started longing for female companionship and girl talk. But he was smothering me. Why, it got to where I couldn't wait for those late night hours when he was asleep, because that was the only time he wasn't watching me, the only time I could think my own thoughts. Finally, I could stand it no longer. And one night, after he'd worked hard all day and I was sure he's in a deep sleep, I snuck out of bed and I took a lantern and I made my way up Wilkins Mountain in the nighttime. When I got to the Conjure Man's cave, he was standing outside, his body silhouetted by the dim light from the fire within. It was like he was expecting me.
"What you want this time, girl?"
"I need you to work me another spell."
"What's the matter, girl? Don't married life agree with you?"
Why, I like married life just fine. It's just that it's not natural for a man to smother his woman. It ain't the way God intended."
"Didn't know God was in on the bargain, girl." "I got no truck with God."
"Now, look here. I love Bobby Jake, and I want my marriage to work, but I need him to give me some freedom, and I need you to give me a spell that'll make him do that."
"I done told you, girl. My magic don't work but two ways, all or nothing. You got all now. Your only other choice be nothing."
"Nothing, then," I cried, and I tore the wedding ring from my finger and I threw it at him. "Let it be nothing. There's your payment. I'll be back tomorrow for the potion."
"No need for you to come back, girl. I've been expecting you."
And he reached inside his robe, and he pulled out another small bottle of liquid.
"You pour this in Bobby Jake's coffee tomorrow morning. Make sure he drink it all. You be rid of him for good."
When I got back to the cabin, it was almost dawn, so I didn't go back to bed. I stayed up and I made Bobby Jake a big breakfast. When he got up, he came into the kitchen and said, "What you doing up so early, Jesse? You know how I like to have you beside me when I wake up in the morning." "Well, Bobby Jake, it's just that you worked so hard in the fields and all yesterday. I thought I'd make you a big breakfast to help you get your strength back. Why, see, I got sausage and biscuits and milk gravy. Don't it look good?"
"It sure do," he said.
And he seated himself at the table. And as I put his plate in front of him, he looked up at me with such love in his eyes that I started to regret what I was about to do. But I'd already done poured the potion in his cup. I filled it to the rim with black coffee, and I handed it to him. He took a sip.
"Coffee tastes different today, Jesse. You put something in it?"
"Just some spices my mama told me about is all. Don't you like it?"
"Oh, it's real good."
And he drank it all. Afterwards, we went out and started working in the fields like always. We worked for hours and didn't seem like nothing had changed, and I was beginning to think that conjure man done tricked me this time. But in the early afternoon, Bobby Jake loud as to how he's feeling kind of weak. Thought he might like to lie down, so I helped him back into the cabin, and he lay down on the divanette, and I felt his head, and it was burning up, so I ran into the kitchen, and I got a cold rag, and I came back, and then I noticed that his eyes was all glassy, and he won't breathe, and so
So I ran out the house and down the road to the house of a neighbor that I knew had a telephone, and I said, call the doctor. Tell him to come quick. There's something wrong with Bobby Jake.
The doctor came, but it was too late.
Bobby Jake's done passed,
the doctor said. And then he picked up Bobby Jake's hand and looked at the fingernails for a long time. And then he looked at me. That evening, there was a knock at the door. It was the sheriff.
Jesse, I done come for the body of Bobby Jake Rittenberry. We got suspicion of foul play here. Gonna do an autopsy.
Well, that made my mama real mad. What's all this talk about foul play? Ain't nobody been near that boy since the day they got married, excepting Jesse. Now, you done known Jesse since she was a little girl. You don't think she'd murder her own husband, do you?
And they took Bobby Jake away. The sheriff came back the next morning with a warrant for my arrest.
You'll be in charge with the murder of your husband, he told me. He was poisoned.
What? The conjure man didn't tell me nothing about no poison. Why, I thought it was just another one of his potions that he gave me.
What's all this talk about a conjure man, Jesse? Everybody knows there ain't no such thing. He's just one of them tales that the hillbillies likes to spread to scare folks.
No, it's no tale. There is a conjure man. Why, come with me. I can take you to his cave.
The sheriff came with me to the conjure man's cave, but the conjure man was gone, and all his roots and herbs with him.
Why, it's like nobody'd ever been there.
Sheriff looked around inside a little bit, came out and said,
you done led me on a wild goose chase, Jesse. Ain't nothing lived in there but some old bear.
The conjure man told me that his magic didn't work but two ways, all or nothing. I first chose all, but all was too much. So I chose nothing, and nothing is exactly what I got. I lost my home. I lost my family. I lost my freedom. Now all I got is this cold prison cell with that hard bed in the corner where I lie at night. My grandmama's words running through my head. Be careful what you wish, child. Be careful what you wish.
We would like to thank Linda Goodman for sharing that very powerful story.
Kathy, from now on, I'm going to be more careful of what I wish for. But, you know, I sure would like some crepes with fresh strawberries and whipping cream and a sprinkle of powdered sugar.
Would you like some coffee with that, Dave?
No, I think I'll pass on the coffee. Thanks anyway. Well, looks like we're out of time, Kathy. Seems like we just barely got started and it's time to go.
Well, there's only one thing we can say. Goodbye.
Bye.